Monday, January 27, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:02 p.m.
All righty, it's 1:02. We'll go ahead and get our meeting started. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. I'm going to apologize before I start. I have a ear infection, so my hearing is really not very good today. So if I ask you a couple of times, that's what's going on, or somebody else kind of cover a little bit too. We're going to go ahead and start with public comment. So if there's anything that somebody wants to talk about that is not on today's agenda, so if there's an item that's not on the agenda that you want to talk about, now would be the time to come forward, state your name, and talk for a couple minutes. Yeah. Hold on just a second. We'll go ahead and do our roll call.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony is absent.
Yep.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
I did get a phone call from Tony last night, said that he was not going to be able to make it, so I'd go ahead and make a motion to excuse Tony for today's meeting.
I'll second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. All right, go ahead and come forward now.
My name is Walt Bierman. I live out of Crystal Lake, as you guys all know me. I brought some souvenirs along. Let each have one here. Now I remember, I think the Indians used those kind of rocks as a hatchet. As you know, we've had issues out there with the road totally dropping out. And I got a couple of pictures of that. This is the corner that rock's on, and I really wish they would have used, inch to inch, what we call river rock. I used it in a construction lot to hold what's called ballast, to hold rubber roofing down. And the reason I use river rock is it's got all smooth edges on it. But anyway, this is the corner that all that rock is, and I know they had to put it down to stabilize it, but I didn't know we were going to be slip riding on it. I put a new tire on, $122. Mike Wilms, he's put three tires on his wife's car, and I took the Fremont tires, and there was almost 80% of the tire left, which is practically new. And consequently, we've had issues with the road. That the whole bottom has dropped out. And here's some other pictures, I guess, that's in my. Now, the reason for, I think, all this water is there's about a quarter mile of that road that is lower than the field on the site. I think everybody knows it. There's been homes that's been in there for over 60 years. I've been there for right at 50 years. That road has never been, have any ditches on either side, no place for the water to go. And consequently, we have to deal with that water every year. And if you're wondering how big a lake we get there, yeah, it's pretty good size.
What's the name?
Now, this happened to be last spring when we had a lot of rain and the frost wasn't out. But we got to do something with that water problem and take care of that. I hope they can do something to cover up. Now, I guess what's frustrating is that road has been on the five-year agenda or plan since the mid-70s. That's 45 years ago. And we still have, now there's 15 taxpayers out there and there's 45 cars. And it's never been taken care of. I'm going to address one more thing. Washboarding. That's looking west. And
there's no dates on him.
Well, when was that picture of the washboard?
With all the water in the spring.
No.
When?
With the washboard.
I think the summer before.
Oh, okay. Because I've been through there about weekly.
I want to read just one. I want to read just one little paragraph here on washboarding. If I can get my glass out here. I think everybody kind of thinks that washboarding is caused by the blade and they're going too fast. And I got this from Road Management Engineering Journal. And I'm going to give this to you guys. But I want to read just a couple paragraphs that are short. One myth is the motor grader causes washboarding. They do not. It is true the grader can cut distortion into the gravel surface. When operators run the grader too fast, the machine can begin to lope or bounce. The humps and the dips of this cause will be further apparent and will be cut at an angle across the road, the same angles that are the millboard. Does that look like that's on an angle? Does that look 90 degrees on that pictures? Now, a little bit, just two sentences here. When frequent rain occurs, washboarding is greatly reduced, but that is not guaranteed. And in high traffic areas, just a few days without rain can really cause problems. And every time the road grader would go down there, he would level the gravel off. And 2 days later, it's a dead, no rain on there. There we got a washboarding, which you see on there. And we go through it year after year after year on it. And I'm going to, I'm wondering why one in 155th Street West got on the agenda, and they put nice ditches in for them. There's seven homes, I think, on the way in the far end of 155th Street. How'd that road get ditches? And we haven't had one for 60 years in a quarter mile. I want to understand that. I'm going to leave a little souvenir for everybody here, if I got enough copies here. Pass that around. I'm going to close with this. Don't know if you guys remember, because some of you weren't on the council back then. This was a letter to the editor by Jeff Anderson, South Sioux City. And this happened when they were voting to spend $30,000 on the road to the Hubbard Lake. But I'm going to put out a little message here. It says, why are we even considering paving the road between Hubbard and Cranford? This is a tape from Jeff Anderson. Per Commissioner Love, he's not here anymore. This was his quote, quote unquote. We need to have a project going on in this country. I don't like going dormant and nothing else to do. I'd like to leave that with you, and I think it's time that you get our road on a 1 or 3 year project so that we can get taken care of. That was supposed to be fixed up, graded up, and hard surfaced in the mid-70s, and here we are 45 years later, and we still got the same situation. We're all taxpayers out there, and I would think that somebody would put that road on agenda. There's 45 cars out there, 15 homes. If you go down to the last five or six homes on there, we don't have any washboarding. But when you add all the rest of the cars on there, we go through that all the time. And the rocks that give you souvenirs, that's hell driving over. And it shakes the living crap out of you there and also the washboard.
I think that could get done this spring.
I sure hope so.
Fred, don't you think that can get done? It's not that big a deal.
I know, Bill, you got anything you want to say?
Think about, we don't have to be, The thing about it out there, it's the only way in, only way out. And you take the road 155th. They can go out either end on that road. So if things are bad at one end, they can go out the other end. But we are only locked in the one way in, one way out. And
I talked to Gene Murray, and he don't have an issue with borrowing material from that corner in there. When you come around the two S-curves there, they're taking that dirt out of the west side and the east and the south side and the west side.
Okay.
And so you don't have an issue with getting enough material, and there's plenty to the north right on that corner too. As a matter of fact, the road's about that much lower than the ground on the north side. So it'd be a pretty easy fix. Material's all there.
Well, I think we also help because I know on the south side there's a water lane and water pipe.
Yeah, Rural Water has a line, and I think that the 2-inch line might be fairly close to the road.
It might be. But
the other one's out in the field, I know.
But they put them in 6 foot deep out there, so that
shouldn't be an issue.
Should be able to take 2 foot out of there. Without
well, you know, we got a lake that's only about a couple hundred yards away that we could also drain a lot of that water out of there, you know, by getting an easement or whatever next to that new double wide home there. I need to do it that night.
Right. And there is a culvert right on that curve that I think, if it was functional, and cleaned out on the west side, would help a little. But then, what really is the entire thing get elevated so the snow blow off is above the water level, and pretty easy to do.
Yes.
But I hope you haven't solved the problem with the washboarding. Yeah. And apparently, to me, with the amount of traffic you got on there. And I'm going to leave these two. Because I think a lot of... Because these are some articles, I've done a lot of research on this. How do you determine that the lake or the road should be blacktopped or hard surfaced? I think I've given one this to you before. But I thought that very interesting because it kind of compares the cost of whether you hard surface it when there's a lot of traffic versus what it costs to grade it. And this is just a map. The road is 4,550 feet long. That's it. Which is not a big, long road. And it can solve a lot of problems out there. And I didn't even mention the dust that we deal with the traffic. And besides 45 cars that live out there, you got both the two different garbage trucks out there, all the different people come to, UPS and FedEx, mm-hmm. school buses. There's a lot of traffic on that road, and you're not going to solve it until they do a hard surface and save some money. I know you guys don't have any money, but you need to get in at least a plan that you keep the word and get it done. Just think of the cost back then.
About
a third of what it is today.
For sure.
That's what's heartbreaking.
Thank you. Anybody else with public comment on anything that's not on? Go ahead. Go ahead, just announce your name.
I'm Troy Lonsby, and I own Troy's Out in the World at home in Nebraska. And I was just kind of wondering, what's your procedure on repairs?
Just wherever you're comfortable.
I was just wondering what the procedure was on repairs for, like, let's say, auto body, tires, glass. I know the sheriff's department's had a lot of wrecks lately. I had my friend sending me pictures of the car sitting in front of Ford auto body. I never get a chance to do anything. I mean, I'm a taxpayer in Nebraska. I've been in business a long time. It kind of hurts my feelings. They had a truck accident a while ago. Down the road from me, a hog truck got hit, and the hogs were jumping out, and the sheriff's department called me. I brought out a ladder, baling wire. I made a fence so they couldn't get out anymore. I mean, didn't charge them nothing. I mean, you know, it kind of disheartened with the whole situation because there's been a lot of wrecks lately, and you know, I don't even get a chance at anything. And I mean, what am I doing wrong? I mean, like the county for towing, I mean, as far as I know, with CNH and Stapleton and South Sioux Towing, you know, you had a rotation to make it more fair. I don't even get a chance at anything. I mean, one time I got a call on a pickup. They didn't want to turn in an insurance.
Have you
fixed for nothing?
Have you talked to the law enforcement people to get on?
I've talked to Chris a long, long time ago. So, but anyway, just and some people throw this excuse out too, and I don't know if this would be the excuse or not. But some people tell your insurance company tell you you have to have your vehicle fixed at a certain shop or whatever. That's totally. Totally untrue. You can have your vehicle fixed wherever you want. It's legal. Anyway, I don't want to talk all day. I just let you know how I feel.
Troy, did we not have a windshield fixed down here?
Oh, I was going to tell you, the county roads department, they've bought some tires from me. They've had some glass put in. I mean, they have given me some business. They've been good to me, and I really appreciate everything they've, you know, done for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else? We'll go ahead and go to consent agenda items. Approval of previous minutes from January 13th. Accounts payable. Larry came in this morning, and we did go through all the accounts payable. Everything seemed to be in order. Approval of official reports from the clerk's office, the register of deeds, and the clerk of district court. So those would be our consent agenda items.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items A to C.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
The board to approve payroll claims January 12th to January 25th, 2020. I did have a chance to come in, went through all of the payroll claims, and again, everything seems to be in order.
I make a motion to approve the payroll claims for that period of time, January 12th through the 25th.
I second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin? Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
I'll abstain.
Larry?
I think we need closed captioning.
Yeah. All right, at this time, Pat Wojcik is going to step forward. I request the board to adopt the proclamation from the Sioux Lang Coalition Against Human Trafficking. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, thank you. I sent Joanne the proclamation, so you guys, you know, I'm here on behalf of Sioux Lang Coalition Against Human Trafficking, and January is the month of awareness for human trafficking, so thank you. We appreciate your support. I am actually with the Sioux Lang Coalition Against Human Trafficking. We've partnered up because South Sioux started a new branch also this last year. So between the South Sioux City Coalition Against Human Trafficking and the Sioux Lang, we have partnered up, and we've been quite busy this last year. Every event that you can think of, we are there with a table, brochures, handing them out, answering questions. And one thing that we have noticed that in the last year, through you guys' support and everybody, that people are becoming more open to coming up and asking us questions, which is good. That's our goal, is to educate people. We know that we're not going to be able to stop it, but the more we educate, maybe we can make it more difficult for a transaction to happen. So we speak at the schools. And it's heartbreaking, but it is amazing even here in the area how once in a while a student will come up and have questions, and then we send them to the proper places. We speak at a lot of schools. We have evening events. And then in January, or the end of April, we are hosting a huge, huge event over at the Sioux City Convention Center. It's called the Porn Epidemic. Open to the public. I highly encourage everybody to register and get signed in. And it's just teaching the public the porn epidemic and how it relates to human trafficking. So thank you so much.
You bet.
That is the end of April, April 25th and April 27th. It's at the Sioux City Convention Center. And again, with all the billboards, everything they hear on the news, people are more receptive to talking about it and realizing that, yes, we here in Siouxland, we have our issues. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you,
Pat.
Now we have Brenda Sale, Extension Associate, to update the board regarding the Voices of Food Project in Dakota County.
Thank you.
That doesn't need cider.
Do we have three?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, my name is Brenda Sale, and I work for Nebraska Extension. And I was going to send you guys the invitation, is the blue invitation, but I know you guys are really busy, so I thought I would just walk it over here and give it to you. We're having an open house community conversation recognition luncheon for all the people that have participated in this project February 19th.
Is that February 19th?
Yep. It's at noon, and it'll be over at the Extension office. We're going to do a luncheon, recognize all the volunteers, and kind of do a kickoff and have a community conversation about what's still going on. But I just wanted to share with you, in case you can't come, just a couple items about some of the things that we're doing. Voices for Food started 5 years ago. It was part of a six-state, five-year grant research project to look at food insecurity in the community, try to engage the community and get them to address it at the community level. And Dakota County is above and beyond, did way better than all of the 24 communities in the six states that were doing it. Now we have 10 communities in Nebraska that are participating in this project, and Dakota County accounts for half of the produce that's collected in the entire state. We account for half of the community volunteers come out of Dakota County in the whole state, and one-third of the in-kind contribution, so one-third of the money that is valued in this program comes from here in Dakota County. So what we did 5 years ago is we did an assessment to look at what the needs were, how we could address them, and what needed to be done. And two major things that came out of that is we wanted the pantry system to be healthier. If you've ever been to a food pantry, it's all boxed, canned, packaged, processed foods. And we wanted to make foods available to families that were working but were still struggling. And so from those two projects, we have two grant-funded gardens that last year produced 12,000 pounds of produce. We do a community garden collection program where we ask gardeners in the community to donate their excess. And those two programs together put 17,000 pounds of produce into the food system here in Dakota County, which was half of the 35,000 pounds in the whole state. The other project that came out of that was the need for an evening food pantry. That happens right here in Dakota City because there was no evening food pantry, and there was no way for people that were working during the day to get to the other three that were during the daytime. They're like 2 to 4. And so we put it here at the Dakota County Fire Department, opens up the fire hall for it. I don't know if you're aware of that. The Dakota City Methodist Church, Homer Methodist Church, and some area people participate in that pantry. In 4 years, that pantry's provided food for 11,978 participants and has fed 3,499 households. And just this year, 913 households picked up food here in Dakota City. It's the highest attended pantry in the county because it's at night when people can get there. Also, as part of this project, just last year, we collaborated with Siouxland Community Health. Dave Faldmo is the director of the health center there. And a year ago, we put 200 pounds of produce there. By collaborating with them and like marketing to the community to drop off produce there, we went from 200 pounds to 2,000 pounds in 1 year. And all their medical clients that are coming in, they're screening them, looking at their health needs, and saying, you guys need to eat more fresh food. And the clients are saying, we can't afford it. And so we've partnered these gardeners with that medical need and have created a system that helps those people get what they need. In Dakota County, we had 131 volunteers that participated in this project. Five master gardeners did 1,600 hours of service. The Dakota County impact, the value of that produce that we put into the food system was over $28,000, and the in-kind contribution for those volunteers is $1,600. or 1,600 hours, I'm sorry, at a national average for volunteers at 2,450-something an hour, was over $40,000 to Dakota County. We're going to talk about some of these things, but we're going to talk probably more about what these networks are and how they work. We have a small group of people doing a lot of work, and we want to engage more community participation, more gardeners, and we're going to talk about how we can do that, and we want to involve more people. We have businesses that sign up and will come pick up produce once a week and deliver them to the food pantries. We take 400 to 500 pounds a week. So we have different businesses in town, some people from Great West, the library, City Hall. They sign up, they come to the garden, they'll pick up 300 to 400, 500 pounds of produce, take it and drop it off, and we need all that involvement to make this happen. So anyway, we're having the community open house on the 14th, or 19th, sorry, at lunch. It'll be a free luncheon, RSVP if you do plan to come. But I know you guys are busy, so I wanted to come give an update in case you couldn't be there. And if you know anybody that gardens or wants to be involved, send them our way.
Well, thank you very much. It is a great program. I actually got involved in it myself last year. And it is, you know, there's, you always get to that point to where you canned all that you're going to can, and you still have a lot of produce, and there's a lot of people out there can use it.
So can use it. And the community health centers, Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5, and 2 days a week they're open late, and then our extension office will always take it. And then we have 4 participating pantries, the health center, the senior center, and then 4 or 5 apartments that we're working with.
In the off-season, you do regular canned goods when it's not produce, right?
Well, the pantry runs year-round.
Okay.
So, and we, through fundraising, and then this grant project was 5 years. It was done 2 years ago, so I've continued to write other grants. And then we've had probably over $4,000 just in community donations. So we continue to fund that pantry just through that. We're paid up now for another year, I believe. But we always need volunteers to help with that setup and clean up, and we're okay with money right now, you know. So we'll continue to fund that as long as we can, because it's
also next week we have our joint city county school meeting, and Dakota County's Volunteer of the Year is one of your gardeners, Marion Kane.
Yep.
So I think it speaks a lot, and hopefully she'll speak on the program a little bit at that meeting.
Yeah, she's probably solely responsible for about 12,000 pounds. 17,000.
She's a goer.
She is. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, miscellaneous, Fred.
January 12th through the 25th, annual hours of road maintenance, mostly snow removal in the last couple weeks. Overtime hours, 82.5. Tree, debris, removal, 6 hours. Garbage pickup, 7. Salt, sand, snow removal, 287 hours. Sign barricading, 33 hours. Road concerns, we did have a few calls on snow removal, ice, a few things like that, but as far as road projects, road concerns.
Are there any culverts out on the road that we were talking about earlier in the meeting out on Lake Iwana there?
Yes, there's one on the S-curves right there. It'd be the south S-curve. When you turn and go back east.
I think it's completely plugged up, though, ain't it?
Yeah. As Larry said, the road is so low, and there's no ditch system there. I'm not even sure what the county has for right-of-way there.
Well, Gene said everything to the pole we could utilize.
Like Mr. Alvinich just said, if the road elevation came up, the water would drain off. The pictures that Mr. Bierman showed you, it's just there's no way for the water to get off the road, and it does cause a problem. To build the road up, water, as far as running it all to the lake, like you said, that's not going to work. I mean, with all the residential.
But yeah, we need to come up with a little bit of a plan as we get closer to spring with that road, because we've been fighting that for a couple of years. So
it sure looks to me like that it'll all go around to the west on the south side of the road, that will come in from the highway.
And I don't know how much drainage, if it's even possible.
Yeah,
how flat everything
is. Right, they just cannot get off the road.
But at least get it off the road so the road surface doesn't have the water. And washboarding, if you have traffic with the S-curves, the stopping and starting.
I think something could have been this past year done, but with the way the problems we had with the excessive amount of moisture and the terrible condition of the main roads, we just couldn't get to it. I mean, just...
Yeah.
We've had two federal disasters in the last couple of years. We're behind on road traffic.
So it's...
And hard surfacing.
Well, you know, one of my thoughts were that maybe get it graded up and put some of them millings, the blacktop millings on, you know, a couple inches, it'll stay together better, and it'll get the butt to cut the dust back. It'll be a poor man's blacktop, but it might help, it might work. You know, I mean, we're not out enough of the stuff, ain't that any worse than cost-wise than crushed concrete.
I agree 100%.
Right. Thanks, Brad. Now we have Matt Roos, weed superintendent, presents noxious weed report and requests board approval for chair to sign the report.
Well, there's really not. This is probably the most boring report you'll ever read. So nothing much has changed from last year. We're just kind of, the numbers are about the same. Some weeds went down, some went up. I don't really want to go through page by page of this. We'll be here for a while. So it's all there. It's all self-explanatory. You know, we're just going to try to get a little more done next year, send some more reports out, and just keep, you know.
Was there much new at the conference this year?
No. Every conference is almost the same.
Yeah.
They have four conferences a year, and they've been doing it for 73 years, and I don't think the conference has changed.
Have changed a lot.
Ever.
Yeah.
I've been to four of them, and it's the same thing every time, but you have to go get your hours.
Yeah.
They do have, once in a while, they have, you know, some watch weeds. There's a watch list, and they have some new weeds that come and go on that once in a while, but it's nothing that we have to, it's more, they have a lot of problems out west, you know, out in the sand hills. They have a lot more problems than we do here, so.
All right.
So they give us a budget, and then we're in budget with
all the... Yeah, that's all right there. That budget is about $45,000 less than it had been in the past. So, you know, I'm doing it as cheap as possible, so without doing away with it altogether. So if you were going to contact Dixon County or Thurston County to come and do it, they would probably charge you somewhere around $20,000 to $25,000 a year to do it. So we're getting by. So
it would give you more time beyond the motor grader, though.
It would. I thought we were talking about weeds instead of roads there.
Yeah. Anybody talk to Dick about it, he'll tell you about the roads.
Yeah. You know. And it's funny that he worked for the county for 30 years and nothing got done either, so.
He was going to be at the meeting.
But anyway.
All right, thanks.
No more questions?
Thanks, Matt.
Joan, do you want this right now? Thanks.
Bob Giese, treasurer, to present the 2019-2020 fund balance six-month accumulated report from July through December of 2019. The request the board approval chair to sign said report.
Not Bob, but...
Hi, Bob.
I have more hair. Okay, so this is the semi-annual report. I've never done one, so bear with me. We did, the bank totals are $4,199,293.12. The county investment is over $2 million. The cash on hand, we have $41,881.44. Our motor vehicle online and is $29,000. Credit cards are $12,000 that we're still waiting on payment. And the cash items, we only have $10.50 negative. So I think it's better than last year's, or like 6 months ago, but I'm not sure because I didn't do that one.
Did anything jump out at you?
No, not that I'm aware of, but I'm not 100% sure what I'm looking for yet. Give me a couple more months now and have a little more time under my belt.
Is there any questions you have for me that I can try and answer?
What's the fund transfer?
The fund transfer is money that we transfer from one account to another account.
It might be collected by the in the general fund, but it actually belongs in the.
It could, yeah.
Assessor account or whatever.
In the road, it's all money from the general fund transferred into the road fund just to make their payment.
Okay.
They get a lot of highway allocation money. You can see what their collections are, and that's from outside sources. Mm-hmm. And then the fund transfer is inter-fund. And I budget that in the general fund to transfer it to the road. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Joan.
Okay. Getting it into the right account, basically.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And then that other, that federal buyback.
130.
We had borrowed from this fund before we got that bond money for the flood event, and so then we
paid it back.
Transferred it back. Yeah. That's what that is.
Anybody got any other questions?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner committee reports. I did have a Region 4 meeting over in Norfolk a week ago, and everything's going about as good as can be. Dakota County seems to be doing pretty well with not having very many emergency committals or things of that nature, things that are using a lot of resources. So they're happy with the work that the providers over here, mainly Heartland, are doing. So they thought that they were doing a hell of a nice job over here.
I got assigned the Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership, so I did call Robin Snyder as the director. And she said their board structure has changed since there's been kind of a merger of various areas. They're located over in Pender at the hospital, but she said Tim Decker is the Dakota County representative. I don't know who Tim is.
He's chief deputy.
Okay, so he is a representative for our area.
So you don't need to be on that? We don't need to have that?
Apparently not.
Because they've
gotten so big, they only want one representative per county, so it's like 24. If every entity within those counties would have a board of 60 people and could never get quorum, something like that. So I'm willing to communicate with Tim, but just kind of give you an update on that one. And you can always go as an open public meeting, but not necessarily be a voting board member. So.
All right. Any mail or emergency business?
In your packets, you all got a letter from the state accountability that your C1 filing is due by March 1st. I gave you the committees that were assigned. Everybody has a list of the committees. And you each got a brochure from NACO on the NACO Institute of Excellence.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and adjourn our commissioners meeting and hand it over to Kevin.
Okay. It is 1:39. We will call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization for January 27th, 2020. Joan, can you call roll, please?
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
I will make a motion to excuse Tony.
Second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room. and is available for all citizens in attendance to review. We will start off this meeting with the reorganization beginning of the year. So we need to start with nominations for the chairperson. If anyone has any interest in being the chair, otherwise I've done it for the last 3 years, and I'm open to doing it again.
Good idea. Yeah,
I'll nominate Kevin to continue as chair.
Second that.
Amazing how fast this one happens.
Important job, boy.
Yeah.
Tell ya.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony is absent. Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Well, thank you for all your support. So, now nominations for vice chair. Janet, you've been the chair last year.
I was the vice chair last year. I'm the vice chair of this. I don't know if I...
You can be vice chair for both.
Okay.
You're lucky.
We won't limit you.
Or Larry could be.
Oh. I can't be. I'm not responsible.
Okay. Oh, no.
I mean, I could be because
feel comfortable. I will make a motion to nominate Janet for vice chair.
I'd second that.
I'd second that.
Martin.
Yep.
Kevin.
Yes.
Larry. Janet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, congratulations.
All right. Ricky.
We'll move on to the consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from December 2nd, 2019, and approval of the time of the regular Board of Equalization meetings at 1:02 p.m. We started doing that a little bit different.
Yeah.
We always did it before the actual board meetings. We're going to move that, so now it will be after the board meetings. So I just need a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
Do we want to change that time?
Of 1:02?
Yeah.
It was always on the board days, it was at 1, and then 101, 102 was okay. The board. So that's just, that is set for after the other meetings.
Oh, so that's technically a part.
Yeah, that way it's people that come for the regular board meeting don't have to go out and sit for a half hour during close.
Yeah, this meeting. The time is more of a technicality.
Okay,
we have to have a time.
It wouldn't be like till 1:30. At the earliest, I would think most of the time, would it?
What's that?
We don't. It wouldn't be till 1:30 at least if this is going to be after the.
I think our last board meeting was about 15 minutes long.
Okay. I was just thinking when I came as a visitor and the equalization was first, you know, it was 20 minutes before you got in here. So should this time be equalization, if it's always going to be after the regular meeting, shouldn't it be more like 1:30? Maybe not. Maybe I don't understand.
You kind of got a point there.
Just to run through a regular agenda, no? Okay. Maybe I don't understand it.
If we don't want to sit here for 10 minutes, if we would have a little short meeting.
Okay.
So.
Just make the folks that want to be on this agenda, just, okay. I'm fine with it being afterwards.
Okay.
I just didn't want to mislead people that come in and say I thought I was coming for this meeting. And okay. All right.
It's kind of the six of one, half a dozen of the other argument.
I'm trying to be mindful of people's time, because if you're taking your lunch hour, which many people have to do, I mean, you end up sitting here for an hour and 2 hours rather than, you know.
It used to be that way. It was, you used to have it beforehand. And now they go into a closed session.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it'd work better if we just had the Board of Equalization at 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Well, probably 1:30.
1:30 would be fine. But, I mean, if this legal, technically is what we need to do, or what we do, but I've been on this board for a year, and I don't think I've ever had our regular meeting get through in more than earlier than half an hour. And that's just my
thought. Most of them are an hour or more.
Yeah.
So maybe we start doing the Board of Equalization at 2 and just block off, just count on being here for a couple hours.
Or 1:30 or 1:45 or...
Well, I don't want to mislead them at 1:30 either, mm-hmm. if we're not going to consistently be done at 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare that we're done before 1:30. I think it'd be safe saying 1:30. I don't.
Right. See, right now it's at 1:45.
You know, somebody still may have to wait a half hour, but.
Be better than.
I don't ever foresee there being a time. You know, I don't think we've been done maybe once in less than 30 minutes in the last 2 years.
And that wasn't much either. A minute, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if we want to change it to 1:30, there's no problem with that. We can set it.
That way people have a little better idea when they're coming.
Mm-hmm. That would be my
save them some time.
I think it's your customer should not.
Yeah.
Should know when to come.
What do you think, Lou?
Whatever you want to do sounds good to me.
You're going to pull off.
What's the difference? 1:40.
Okay, so what's your motion?
My motion is to approve the previous minutes, but on item B, maybe change it to 1:40. Or 1:30. What do you, what, I mean, 1:40 would be, like today we got done at 1:45. To be here 5 minutes.
That's fine with me.
1:40? 1:40.
And that might be a little early, but can you say following the regular meeting? I mean, can you add that in there? Approximately 1:40 following the regular
meeting. I thought we had to have
it. You have to have a specific time?
If you put a specific time, you can't just start it. Early.
Okay. That's
the
yeah.
problem.
You cannot that's start early.
That's
problem.
Why they have the one or two. So, like, okay. Here's one, and if it takes 5 minutes, here's the next.
Okay. Okay. But rarely did it take 5 minutes before. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, 1:40. Sorry, 1:40.
Kevin?
I will second the motion.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Okay. New business. Bob Giese, the treasurer, requesting board approval of exemption of motor vehicle taxes for the Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership for the following vehicles used by staff to attend meetings and other activities for Early Head Start, Head Start, the 2016 Dodge Grand Caravan, another 2016 Dodge Caravan, 2002 Chevy Venture van. And this is, we go through this every year. These are exempt vehicles.
Yes, vehicles for the Northeast Community Action Agency Partnership. They're requesting to be exempt for these three vehicles.
Okay. Yeah, this is something we go through every year. These aren't personal vehicles. These vehicles are used for Early Head Start and the Head Start programs.
I'm assuming they're using to bus children to activities.
It states what their use is.
Yeah, it's.
Early Head Start. I'll make a motion to approve that exemption. Item number 8. Do I need to get those vehicle numbers, VIN numbers or anything?
Sure.
All right. The 2016 Dodge Grand Caravan, there's two of those, and the 2002 Chevrolet Venture van. Three vans.
I will second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Great, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item B. Jeff Curry, the assessor, requesting the board approval of tax list corrections on parcels 22014680 and 22027414. So, Jeff, kind of looked over these, but
did you? Okay.
Get us up to speed.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I guess I'm not going to need that right now. I'll just go through the folder then. We'll just do them. Not sure how much I got to read off. Is there a, or just the name?
Yeah, that's the next sorry. You are on tax list correction.
Oh, I am?
Yes.
Yeah, we're on the parcels for Augustine and Whaler. It looks like the Whaler one had to deal with the homestead exemption, the state's denial.
Yep.
And the other one looked like it was a billing error.
Yeah, we had, yep. Leonardo Augustine was on the tax roll twice, so we had to take one of them off. So that's the first one, and that should, did we get copies of the dollar numbers? Did we get money to run them
about,
through? Okay.
About
$57. $57, yeah. What happens a lot this time of year, we start getting trailer court reports. They'll come in. They move trailers from lot to lot on us. So we had this trailer maybe on lot 23A, and all of a sudden they turn in a report, and they got it on a lot on the other side of the court, so we got to go out and look and figure out what it is we're talking about. And in this case, we picked, you know, there's a new one and then the original one. So unfortunately, this one here got on here twice, so we had to take it off once.
I couldn't hear a thing.
And then the other one, I got to go through some other reports to get to that guy. Oh, this was Sandra Whaler, and this one here again, this one just came out back from the state. And we had them as exempt, and the state and the IRS must have found income that they didn't turn in to us. So they got denied, so they're going back on. So, and that was one of those state-mandated deals.
Sure.
And they get access, like I said, they're in Lincoln, so they get IRS, I mean, they have access to all that information that we don't. So they get to actually audit randomly things, and she must have hit the list this year.
Okay.
So that's the, and I had two, Joan, we got two more we'll have to get on for later.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Next time I will leave it as a generic tax list correction, Kim said, because I put those two names, I couldn't add two more.
Two more, okay.
So we'll have another meeting next week for that.
All right, I'll just keep them here.
I won't do that again.
So those are our two tax roll corrections for this cycle.
And then we will notify these folks. Have they been notified or not yet?
Yeah, well, when the state sends us a letter, they send them a letter, too, at the same time.
And then I also follow up with a letter
to
the organization, letting them know what action the board took.
That way, they can, if they have a complaint, or they can come back in and talk to us or whatever they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, we lost 57 on one and put, what was it, 1,500 on, back on the books. 15 was it 70 cents to go.
Okay. Do you need a motion to get those corrections?
I think that's fine, yeah.
Yes, I need a motion for the tax list correction approval.
Okay. I would make a motion to make the corrections on the parcels for Whaler and Augustine. That are attached 2201-46802 and 2202-74144.
And I will second that motion.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to C. Jeff? Making his recommendation to the board for either taxable or exempt for the real property or tangible property of any organization or society seeking a tax exemption by December 31st of the preceding year.
Okay, let's go through a list here. Okay, First Lutheran Church. Out here. This year what we did is, in the statutes and the case law for any entity that's applying for a permissive exempt, if they own residential lots, are they on plots of land for future growth or future expansion? They're not necessarily tax exempt. You can't exempt it just because in the future they're going to do something with it. Mm-hmm. So we've been wanting to catch up on this for a long time, and this year when we went through, that's what we did. So this one here, the first, now there's usually a church has several, 3 to 5 applications. So when I go through it, you'll hear the same names multiple times. It's like most of them will be approved for the church, but if they had that vacant lot that falls underneath Chapter 77, underneath the 202 section, then they're going to be denied. And then that'll give them time to come in and let us know what they have done to it or what they plan on doing to it, and get them pinned down on a date. And if there isn't one, then we have to keep it exempt. So the first one, and it looks like these kind of got organized like that. So the first one is First Lutheran Church, located on 3601 Dakota Avenue. There's a chunk of ground that they own that actually sits back in behind there that they don't use for anything yet. You know, they got a little softball field and some other stuff. But this is a different piece of land. And so on that one there, we denied it based on those statutes. And what you'll find is on the denial, you'll get the actual case law or a statute number or something so you can review why we're doing it initially on there. And then you'll get the picture from the GIS map so you can see where that lot's actually located in comparison to the property as well. So we do that so when we communicate with them, they have all of that in their hands too. So when they come and say, oh, no, you know, you got it wrong, this is what we're doing here. So the next one we have here is Forest Acres, which is 830 Riverview Drive. Now, this property is a Section 8 property or a low-income property, so they don't qualify for permissive exemption. They need to actually appeal to the state to get their discounted rates based on the incomes they charge. I don't know why this year. They've always done it in the past. Forest Acres has always went through the state, and then I get all that information. Am I going out of order?
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
You don't have them on the list?
Nobody got those. I just made a list. So what's the name on it?
Oh, this is a set of Forest Acres, Inc.
No, have it at all.
830 Riverview Drive is their location.
What are they, Forest Acres?
A little bit of it's elderly, but it's low income. They're Section 8. I think it's a 202 or some program like that, I think roughly. So they are entitled to a partial exemption based on being a Section 8. However, this is not the process that they go through. And we put the statutes and the case law that shows they need to go back. And Forest Acres knows, and I haven't been able to talk to them yet. They know better. Ever since I've been here, they've applied for their Section 8 every year. And they've gotten
it. Missed it.
But
it's not on a 451 form?
It's on a 451. They filled it out right on a 451, but they've never really, they don't turn that in to me. I usually get it from the state saying, here's your Section 8, here's their incomes. And I do an income workup on them and capitalize according to what the state sets, and we're done. We got like 6 or so of those. So for some reason, I don't know if they've exchanged hands or somebody else got involved, but they're trying to do it through the wrong process this year. So they're denied. And I don't think there's going to be anything we can do with them when they come in, but we again would attach the same information for them to say, here, guys, like for example, property owned and used primarily for furnishing low-rent housing, not entitled to exemption as property owned and used exclusively for charitable purposes. Christian Retirement Homes, Inc. versus Board of Equalization of Lancaster County. So this is case law where this has already been discussed and fought over once before. And it's actually in section, chapter 77, section 202. I don't know if it's 11 or 12, but you just don't file this way as a low income. Because every one of the units they get is rentable. Everybody pays rent. It just depends on how much you pay. And that's what we take and give them exemptions for, is that loss. So they can make money like any other one. And I see here it's Charlotte Nelson. So I think that's the one with Prairie Haven. So I, and they're also in here. Prairie Haven would be the next one. Is that on your list? And they are the exact same thing. We just got done fighting with them maybe a year or two ago. They had something they were claiming dealing with Goodwill Industries that they said makes them 100% charitable. But when you look them up, they're actually listed under as a Section 8, and they're managed by Selvin Company out of Omaha. They're not charitable. Every unit's rented. They got a waiting list. And actually, they don't even qualify as elderly, because all they have is a ramp, and that ramp's only on one unit. The rest of them, you got to be able to move around to get in and out of them. But they do qualify for something based on the income. And again, for that, they are, and the state has a list, and they are on it, and they get communicated to by the state and us, that says you got to get your stuff into Lincoln, so I get it, so we can set your new values. For some reason, these two this year decided to go a different route. This Prairie Haven's already lost. We've already had to go through and settled with them. I don't think we actually went to Turk. I think they finally settled when we gave them all the case law. But so they're trying again, and that's Charlotte Nelson, too. Maybe that's why Forest Acres came off. But what she did is hurt them, because if they did not apply to Lincoln, there's nothing we can do this year. They're out. They just lost it for a year. So we'll find out more on those two, but they're both denied.
All right.
Right now. So I see what she did. She put the most confusing stuff in the front here. She's trying to trick
me. That'll be nice stuff, I think.
Yeah.
And then, okay.
And then there's one for our VSL friends, and I denied it, and I never did. I should have called Kim, but since it's already under litigation, I just assumed if I approved it, that would be bad, and they might start a whole new round of communication with us. And that means Kevin's got to sit in a meeting again and read everything. So I denied them based on it's under litigation right now. We have a pending, well, we have a Turk case. We still don't have a date unless Kim got one. I hate to even bring it up, because now they might start calling us again. But so those were the three difficult ones.
It'll be a long time.
Yeah. So VSL, but I'm not sure if these were on there or not. They should have been. Maybe we should.
Three-fourths the way down on the first page, VSL.
Okay.
And the Lutheran Church was on there, but those other two, they're not on my normal charitable exemption list, so I've never seen them there before.
Oh, I got
them. You haven't either. So that's probably why they're not on it.
Yeah, so this one here is, I think they give us more than one. Carrie Durant's who turns it in for them. So the one that's denied is for parcel number 22. Oh, I'm sorry, I went back to that Lutheran one real quick just to separate it from the other one. Its parcel number is 22005515. And that's just that bacon piece that we've been needing to pick up all along. So we finally got back around to catching up project work again.
They had something on that last year. They have a big sale.
Which, where is that in relation to the First Lutheran Church?
It sits
is that
right along the avenue there. So it,
an old farm?
Is it to the south? Is it that one?
It is, here, I got to turn so I can get north, north-south. It is south and west. It's clear back to the, who owns that field back there?
Around where their softball field, right in that area.
Yeah, that's over, they moved, yeah, that's up over in here.
Oh,
here, oh,
I'm
here you go.
Behind that.
Yeah, I'm even behind these softball fields here.
Okay.
So what we did is, you know, if it has a part of the parking lot on it, we leave it alone because that's for religious purposes. This is for religious purposes. The church obviously is. And these are buildings for the churches. It's just a little piece that was back here. See, I think originally they started a softball field back here, but they play it up here now. And I think they do soccer and stuff over here, and techniques and things like that. So this is just left alone anymore. And I don't know if they plan on doing anything with it or not, but it's its own individual parcel, so we have to treat it as a separate, and there's no religious use for it right now. So that was that one. That's your bad
stuff. So we'll have to put forward a plan, or it'll be taxed at regular rate.
Taxed at regular rate, okay. Yep. And property is used for religious, joint and not owned and used for financial gain to profit the owner. Okay, United Methodist. Here's the United Methodist here in Dakota City. Shirley turns this in for us. Parcel 22000009740. And this one here is initially, it's approved for a portion because it's a church. Right? What's that? United Methodist. And it's the 9740 parcel number.
You have the parcel numbers on our report.
Oh, what else do you guys have on that?
Jeff, this is what we got.
Oh,
and
she's got them broken down by charitable versus religious. Okay. So it should be after St.
For making meetings after, you know, March.
Right here.
Okay. The last page, United Methodist.
Yep. And what we're looking into is the daycare that they've opened up and they're operating out of there. I think they charge, it's like, in our initial investigation, it's $145 a week, which is normal fees for most daycares, actually a little on the strong side. They go from like about $100 to $175. And they're sitting in at $145. They take care of children from 7:45 a.m. until 5, but if your child stays there after 3:30, you got to pay extra. And it's not listed as a religious daycare or preschool at all. So they're operating out of the back of the church where they have the upstairs kitchen area, and I think the Sunday school was down below. And that's what they use for I think they got two classes now. So we're not sure, and we haven't had enough conversation on it other than finding out numbers and things like that. So what we did is it's approved. What we were thinking is probably it's going to end up being roughly 90% and 10% not, because of the space that they're actually using isn't as big as you get into the size of the church. I mean, that's the majority of your space. This is just two little rooms. But so we don't know yet. And we still want to do some more talking to them. But right now it is approved, but only for a portion. The rooms used for the daycare are not at this time.
Okay.
So that came back from the state that way?
No, this one is our first look at it. So what we do on our new 451s is, every 4 years, when everybody has to reapply, we take notes during those years, and we'll go out. There's certain things we want to check. like, we noticed they had a lot of kids there, and they were doing kind of a daycare, so it was just something we had to figure out and start talking to them, see what they're paying or what they're charging, and figure out.
So daycares aren't exempt if they're serving
local. Unless it's part of, yeah, it would have to be, like when Bob was up here presenting for the minivans, those run through, those organizations are exempt. Yeah, so those, just like those vans need to be that property, everything dealing with that's exempt. This one we were hoping was part of the church, and so far it's not. It's just the church is kind of leasing them the space to do it. So it's a beneficial thing both ways.
Okay, so
generally it's a religious organization that owns the property, so it starts out as exempt, and if they were renting to another exempt entity, then we wouldn't even touch it. But they're not exempt, this entity.
Well, like I said, I just know there's a huge need for daycare, so I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, no, I know. Exactly. There's a lot of, we have a lot of daycare, but we need a lot more. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where that one sits now. And that was one of our problem ones that we had to go through and figure out. And then the next one, it's called Primera Iglesia Bautista Hispana. So it's on the back pages on your list where the religious thing is. Now, I think they have multiple parts
in the middle.
And you don't have parcels on that list, but this is one of those. All the other ones are approved. It's this one that is, excuse me, denied. And this one is the one, we've had it approved at one time.
What's the number?
It is, the parcel number is going to be 55270. And it's that chunk of land that sits off of G Street here, right at 17th Street. And we had it on the exempt books because when they purchased it, that first year we held it up. We had a meeting. They came in and explained what they were going to do to it. And they were going to hold up prayer services. And they actually went in and made a, it's not a road. I won't call it a road, but they pushed in a layer there, or dug up some dirt here, and put a sign, I think that sits roughly right here, on it. So it looked like they actually broke ground. So we left them on last year, thinking they were going to just finally build the new church they want. Well, they haven't done anything else since then. So now we're going to deny it and make them come in and tell us what their plans are. Who's building it? When are you going to build it? We're going to have to take it off the books if you're not doing anything with it from a religious standpoint. If they actually were holding prayer services in the summer or in the spring, then we would, and they can prove it, we would give it to them. But I've never even seen anybody standing on that grass, ever.
No, I haven't seen anything. Yes. Either. We talked about this last year.
Yep.
Besides what it looks like is maybe the beginning of a parking lot.
Yeah, that little part they came in and we saw. Yeah. I was hoping that was the beginnings of maybe they're going to get it serious, take some, at least take some trees off of it if that's what they wanted to do, level some ground, bring in some dirt, do something. But they quit there and have done nothing since. So that is our other denial for a vacant lot. I think we're done. I hope I'm done. I don't think we had trouble with any more than that this year. For a reapplication year, it could get pretty convoluted. This was actually a pretty easy year, except for that little stack. We're going to find, there should be a whole list of, what, about 8 parcels for Glad Tidings Lighthouse. And some of these are vacant residential lots, actually lots they could be selling that aren't connected to what they have. So they have a couple denials as well on vacant lots. The first one is parcel 22004309. And that one is going to be lot two, and it's in the South Sioux Acres addition. The next one is parcel 22004049, and it is three lots connected. It's in Joy Place addition, and it's lots 7, 8, and 9. And again, they're out there by themselves. They're empty. There's no religious activity on them. I'm not quite sure how they ended up owning them, but they have them. Then we have parcel number 22004075 3, and this is the north half of lot 11, block 52, Joy Place addition. And this one is a separate parcel. This is probably the closest one to gravel parking lot, I guess we would call it, and grass. But maybe they could explain away. It's just a half a lot. So it's also denied as vacant. They have so many parcels. Bear Ground, Michael Ring. Here we go. Joy Place, lots 11, 12, and 13 for parcel 22004139. Also vacant. Not used for religious purposes. And parcel number 22004072. It is the north half, except the south 8 feet of lot 10, block 52, Joy Place addition. And the part they're taking off and that little legal is actually has religious purpose for it. So it's not part of that. It's actually in a different, it's religious, it's not taxed. So that one was also denied. Let's see, which one is this? Nope, that one is not gonna be, that's their drive. So that's all. 22013284 is good. And 22015621. Oh, that's the picnic area. That is also good. So we had the first batch all denied for vacant land. The last two parcels are the church and the parking lot, and then the driveway, which takes up part of another parcel off the street. And that's for Glad Tidings.
So before they were all exempt, all these lots, you know, wrote down.
Had been exempt, yep, the whole time.
So they'll be, that would be.
Yeah, and they.
A change for them.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't have been, but after we reviewed everything and got the statutes and everything figured out for sure from what we needed to be doing with them. This was a good year for the reapplication process, so this is when we want to
get things right.
Yeah, if there's anything to deny, we need to deny it this year or approve new stuff this year, whatever. I mean, this is our year for the next, until the next 4 years goes through. And everything else, oh, there's some more Glad Tidings. See, I told you, I forgot how many parcels that place has. They're a pretty big property owner. They're both approved. Oh, that's the other building. Oh, that's the driveway extension and the parking lot extension. So parcels 22004455 and 22004850 are also under that Glad Tidings for you. And those are approved. or I recommend, they're not approved, I recommend to you guys that we keep those approved. Hispana Iglesia Bautista, or Primera Iglesia Bautista Hispana, this is the one where their church actually is. So this one's approved. We talked about their lot earlier being not approved off G, that G and 17th Street there. But their main church is approved. Or we recommend approval. The Norm Wake Senior YMCA will be probably a couple of pages up because this is charitable. And we have them as approved because we don't have the time and the resources and anything else to fight with them. But I know from speaking from the assessment office, we have a problem with it because even their programs they offer kids, like as an example, one of the appraisers we contract with has an autistic child, and they still charge him for that autistic child. They don't have a program for it. And even the discount they give us, we still pay, but it's a little bit less than what anybody else does. Everybody pays there. So they have a few, and I mean very few programs that are actually free, and generally they're outside like a Y soccer league, you know, kind of thing down at the park, and the city provides that for them to use. So we do have an issue with them. We just don't have the time or the resources to take it on yet, to actually try to force them to give us an income statement. So that's one we do recommend approval now because most people would approve it because it's a Y. It's not a Y. I think when this all became exempt way back in the day, it was at the Y used to be where the homeless people would go. They had showers, they had bunks, and that was a religious slash charitable organization back in that day. This is all money now. This is all just what they call charitable. So the only thing charitable was the Waits gave them the money for it. I mean, they were charitable. Other than that, they charge everybody else.
Are other YMCAs, I guess, if there's a precedent here, I mean...
We would set a precedent if we went out. I know there's other assessors. There's one in, I think, Norfolk. Jeff Hackrett, I think, has one. Yeah. And who else was talking to me about it?
Who owns a Y?
I honestly, just from initial conversations, I'm not sure. Every time you talk to them, they'll say Norm Wade Senior Foundation. And I'm like, well, that's...
I think it's the board.
Yeah, I mean, because he's charitable. I mean, his organization, I think, is charitable itself. But Kim's probably right. I bet there's a board of some type put together on it. But it's definitely something we should look into. I mean, if they want to be charitable, then start doing charitable things for people who need it. Don't just say you are and just expect us to keep approving it. So we do have a problem with that, but at this point, we would approve it, and we would be consistent with some other ones, like in Omaha, and not everybody has a Y. I mean, it's like us in Norfolk, and I want to say...
Papillion or Omaha.
Lancaster, I think, Dodge County, I don't even think, has one. So it's just one of those things, and they do offer a great service. It's nice. They got the pool in there. They got the weight stuff in there. It's a great thing to have. It's actually one of the few things we have that brings Iowa to Nebraska. And I know McDonald's likes it. I don't know why you go work out and hit the McDonald's drive-through, but
it's right there.
You're packing on the carbs, right?
That's why you exercise. So you
but I'm sure McDonald's really enjoys that they're there.
It's like smoking.
But I think that's something we need to discuss maybe in the next cycle or what have you. And because, like I said, right now there's just a couple other assessors talking about it too. And so it's just too big to fight by ourselves. And maybe if we get three of us or something together, maybe it's easier. We have another on the charitable side. It's the Fraternal Order of Eagles out there where...
The Don's.
The Don's. Castro. What's that restaurant called? I go there. I'm eating the cheeseburger there, for heaven's sakes. But what we did is it's just like only 13 So we measured the whole building, took Don's out of it. So the part, and we think the Eagles are defunct or going to be defunct, and the owner of the restaurant, I believe, wants to get a contract. He wants to buy the whole building, is my understanding. And once that happens, it'll change. But until then, we just gave the portion of the buildings that are still the Knights of, not Knights of Columbus, Fraternal Order of Eagles, an exemption, and Don's portion is not. So they owe partial taxes. But our recommendation is approved for a portion. And the percentage breakouts are 13% versus 87%. The Boys and Girls Home of Nebraska, no issues there. Charitable, our recommendation is approved. River Hills Church, I'm bouncing you around now. Now you're probably going back to the religious pages. But it again approved religious purposes. Nebraska Senior Citizens Center, we keep them as a recommended of approval for the different programs and things that they do. And we really want to start talking with them too more and see if we can't get them to help more people out too as charitable, filling out their homestead paperwork. We train one or two of their people if they wanted us to, because it's a gray area, but we get into a potential legal issue because, you know, people bring them in blank and they want us to help them. And I'm like, man, you better be careful filling in forms. I said, that's not your income. You don't know anything about it. So we've kind of banned doing a lot of that at the window because we don't want it to get turned around on the county saying we're CPAs or we know these people's income. But we feel bad turning people away that actually need help. So we're hoping to really add to the charitable part of that and try to get a hold, get a couple of people in here we can train, and then we can tell them go out to the senior citizen. Everybody knows where the Senior Citizen Center is. Have them help them. You know what I mean? And kind of eliminate that a little bit for the county, that risk.
Sure.
And that way we are sure they're still being taken care of.
Good.
Hanson Greenleaf, this is a post. It's recommended, approved. Buckland Post 97, the same. Iglesia, I don't know how this got mixed up. I'm sorry. We should be doing all religious, then all charitable, then all educational. But Iglesia Pentecost, oh, I can't say this one, but El Buen Pastor. 822 East 20th Street. Wow. That one is recommended approval. There is a church there. And they gave us description of worship God on there, so we're not going to argue with that. Islamic Center gets religious.
That's the one right behind the police.
Behind the police station there, yep. Trinity Lutheran Church, this is Hubbard. They are recommended approved. American Family Association, it's the tower site. They've got some towers where they pump out religious stuff on or bounce off of it. Those towers are recommended to be approved for charitable, for religious purposes. Dakota County Agricultural Society would be exempt. Centro Cristiano Nueva Esperanza is on 1219 First Avenue. That's 223308. Again, religious. And it's recommended approval. Salem Lutheran Church out there at 1753 G Avenue. Now, they have more than one parcel because they have a parsonage too. But and a cemetery. All parcels under Salem Lutheran Church are recommended approved, and there should be 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. We have Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership. These are the folks with the minivans again, and they are recommended approval for a charitable organization. Hope Evangelical Lutheran Church on 218 West 18th Street has multiple parcels, and I believe all are, yes, all recommended approval. They don't have any vacant land parcels. Tri-State Christian Church, 3508 G Street. Christian Church Ministry, Sunday morning worship. This is recommended approved, and it would be parcels 166706, 2201-66706. It's recommended approved. St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church has more, is recommended approved. Omadai Lodge, excuse me, they got a bunch of stuff that operate out of there. They've got the Masonic Lodge, the Eastern Star, the Rainbow Girls, and it goes on. But that is also charitable and recommended approved. Wat Budaramara M of Siouxland. So that's our guys right outside of town there. Our little Buddhist guys, and they are religious, and we recommend approval on that. And I think they added two more sand volleyball courts. They love to play volleyball. They got half of their back is sand volleyball courts. Anytime you want to go play volleyball, just go out there. It's a tough place to get in and out of without being challenged to a game on the way, too. The Evangelical Church of North America. This is on 809B. It is also recommended approved, religious. Evangelical Church of North America. For the parsonage is approved. Religious purposes. Salvation Army is now, this must be, wait a minute, this is the old Goodwill camp. I want to say that's who bought it. Yes. So Salvation Army is now purchased from that campground out there behind Lake Iwana on the other side of the lake there. So it's the Salvation Army's now. And we called them and talked to them, and they are going to be for charitable purposes. So they haven't operated or done anything yet, so we take them at their word for it. We'll have to send people out there this spring and see what they actually start doing. The Nebraska Indian College is here in South Sioux, and they are educational and charitable, so they are approved. Recommended approval on them. And then the Hardy McNally Legion Post, we recommend approval on them. The County Church Legion Post. Now this one here, we got the parking lots and everything else with it too. Now this is going to be a recommended exemption for a portion. So they have right now, let's see, on this parcel, 90% of it is exempt, 10% of it's taxable. And that's, they serve alcohol. They have the bar there. So apparently in the state we have problems with alcohol, I guess. can't be exempt no more. And then the other parts of the building, because it's built right on a lot line. I don't know how it ended up like that. It's split up, and it has two, the way the parking lots are arranged. But for that piece, 30% is taxable, and that's the remainder of the bar, and 70% is exempt on that parcel of it. So it's just split up, basically, because they have the bar there. So a percentage of the parking lots for bar purposes, then we leave the rest of the parking lot for charitable purposes, and then most of the hall is for charitable purposes. So that's our percentages on that one. Knights of Columbus, out there in Old 20, we recommended approval on that. I believe they are chartered. So that one is listed as nothing. It would be charitable. I can't sign that. It's their form. This is an original. Well, even though they can't fill out a form, we still recommend approval. They forgot to check charitable. Briarcliff University, I believe that's our dome that we made it, we exempted ways back. I think Leonard and a bunch of people came in from the board, talked to us about what the uses were just for the college and nothing else. So we continue to recommend exemption on the dome. First Lutheran Church is recommended approved for religious purposes. That's 3601 Dakota Avenue again. So this must be that other parcel. Yes. So that's the rest of it. That's recommended exempt. Our historical society is turned in by Dennis Reinert, and we recommend exemption on that, or approval on that. And he's kind of submitted it for the different parcels where they have stuff. Let's see. Dakota County, here's one, the County Historical Society. This one is also recommended approved. Buildings, Marvin Howard Land, Bill O'Connor House is recommended approved. I think they got some stuff down here in Dakota City in the park, too, don't they? It's also where they had an old schoolhouse or something. That was one of the parcels we told them we would exempt for them. I think it's in Dakota City in the park.
Now there's Combs School, which would be over by the O'Connor House, and then the...
Okay, that should be...
Did they take over that oldest Lutheran church?
The one that's just a couple blocks to the south.
South here, maybe it was that. Yeah. Oh, that was a church? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's one of their parcels now, too. So, and then the old Connor House stuff. Sorry, guys, this is just long and dry. Heartland Counseling Services, I know Marty just mentioned them earlier today. They do a lot of charitable stuff, so they are recommended approved for charitable. We have First Presbyterian Church, who is recommended religious, recommended approved. Siouxland Community Bible Church, 224 East 17th Street. I'm trying to get my head wrapped around this one. 29229, recommended approved. St. Paul's United Methodist Church. This is recommended approved. Religious. American Family Association. The Christian Radio. Oh, that's the other for the 2.21 acres that tower sits on.
So we just do the budget committee's message.
So this one here is also recommended approved for religious purposes. Homer United Methodist, the same, religious purposes. And this is my Catholic Church folder. We got, I think, every Catholic entity. Thank goodness in our county uses the same CPA firm. This makes it so much easier. You just get one big pile of all of it. So these are all approved. I'll just kind of go through. Just want to double check and make sure they didn't have vacant lots, and they don't. But they have multiple parcels on them. So anything under St. Cornelius Catholic Church is recommended approved for religious purposes. When you get to that religious page. Anything under St. Patrick's Catholic Church is also approved, recommended approved for religious purposes, and they have a couple of parcels, three. Everything under St. Mary's Catholic Church, excuse me, this is a, I don't think they have, they got two parcels, and again, recommended approved, religious purposes. Sacred Heart Catholic Church is also recommended approved, religious purposes. And then we get into St. Mike's in town. And they have a few parcels, several actually, based on the way the city was platted back in the day and where we got the different buildings at. And their old football fields and stuff. So they are all approved as well for religious purposes under St. Michael's Catholic Church. And that is it.
All right. And thank you, Jeff.
Long, drawn-out process. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No. Matt, when I got on this page, is Old Log Cemetery.
I listed the cemeteries, but that's not.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. We should have a whole page of cemeteries somewhere.
I know, but what is an Old Log Cemetery?
I'll show you later.
That's the one. Was it Shirley that brought that in to us, or
no,
somebody?
No.
I don't remember.
It's the people that had the hay bales and the plugged up the culvert. What's the?
Oh, her out there.
Yeah, Waterbury.
Oh, the cemetery out there. Not
okay.
Never heard of it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So that's it, folks.
Okay. Well, I will make a motion to accept Jeff's recommendation for the taxable real or tangible property and the exempt real or tangible property of any organization or society.
I second that.
Martin? Yes. Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on to mail and or emergency business, of which we do not have any. So we will move on to public comment for the Board of Equalization. Do not see any public comment, so we will adjourn the Board of Equalization. It is 2:43. Okay, thank you.
What time was the other meeting going to start?
2.
Right now. 2:15.
Well, we know they're here. We can hear them. I'm a little sad to see you
Budget
people
committee.
Not fight over the BOE jobs. What was up with that?
I did a lot of campaigning prior to get this position.
The campaign.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought position.
Everybody wants it. I mean,
yes. This is most popular the descriptions of their positions and things.
Yeah.
Good job.
Everybody
Larry
wanted
didn't
it.
Have to say no I so
it.
Fast to live with
it. This is what you don't really show what the impact is for this, as far as the revenue.
Well,
last year,
sure.
Next year be better. I
have to
see that.
Is there a way I can get
this
wrong? No. Wasn't he at our meeting complaining about his taxes being too high?
Yeah.
It's not going to get cheaper if we have to start rebuilding every road.
Oh, yeah. I was going to figure out how much.